And they tell you stories. I mean, listen to what your client is saying. That's why active listening is part of our scope, and it's really important to listen to what they're saying. Because if they say, I'm all over the place, I'm beside myself with worry, I can't feel anything in my feet, you're starting to look at dissociation states. And so in a sense, what we're doing with Bowen is that somatic embodiment aspect of making the body more comfortable for the being to live in.
Welcome to Bowen Fest 23 podcast series. Join Vanessa King in conversation with Margaret Spicer. Bowen, an evolving therapy, exploring potentials.
Welcome, Margaret, to Bowen Fest 23 podcast series.
Thank you, Vanessa.
You originally were a pharmacist and you've been a naturopath for over 30 years. You're with your clinic in Sydney. Been a Bowen practitioner since 94, Bowen instructor since 2000. And co-developed and taught much of the loved and sought-after course Mind Body Bowen workshop since 2002.
Yes, mine's been a journey through health my whole life. I left school and that's when I did pharmacy, late 20s, early 30s, moved into natural therapies. And because I'd always had concerns when I was in the medical area that people would just take a pill as a uniform remedy for absolutely everything. You have a skin rash, take a pill. You have your blood pressure goes up, take a pill. Hopefully it's a little bit more refined nowadays. However, nobody ever asked the person what was happening in their life. What were the stresses in their life? Was there something else you could do? Nobody ever looked at what the body could do for itself. Everything was antidepressants, antibiotics. And while they're wonderful things for acute situations, a lot of chronic things didn't seem to be shifting. And so I moved into natural therapies and found a paradigm where they recognize there's an innate healing of the body. And in a sense, as practitioners, all we do is support that so it can do what it can do the best it can. And I was encaptured by this, but I also thought I was going to be a herbalist and homeopath, which were the two areas I specialised in, even though I did a three-year bodywork course, which was akin to osteopathy at the time. If I'd have done it the year before, I would have come out with a diploma of osteopathy as well. And so it has surprised me that nowadays my work is purely bodywork with Bowen, and really has been since I first started it. But I have done a lot of other things as well. As when I changed from one paradigm of healing to the other, I did any course I could find that had anything to do with healing. I did many mindfulness type courses. I did touch for health type courses. I did spiritual healing courses, energetic healing courses, essences, you name it. I've probably looked at it, radionics, all of those things at some stage of the game, and have had the opportunity to integrate a lot of that into the way I work. Well, certainly the philosophy behind the way I work. It's from the broad perspective that I can see how Bowen can be used in many, many more ways than what's traditionally looked at. Yes, I remember, Ozzy, when I did my very first course back in 1994, Ozzy was virtually saying that Bowen had the potential to be the therapy of the next century, which is the century we're in now, of course, and it could be used for everything. And I thought that was a very big statement to make. How was this therapy with these tiny little moves able to have such a profound effect? And being a naturopath at the time, I didn't have the traditional type of clientele that a lot of body workers have with the sore neck, sore knees, etc. I had a lot of people with irritable bowel problems. It was the time everybody was looking at candida diets and thyroid problems and all of those sorts of things. And so I was really looking for something that could help my clients in that respect.
And I imagine, Margaret, this is perhaps where you talk, we know that you talk a bit about the inner doctor and the body's innate intelligence. Can you break that down for us? What do you mean when you speak of the inner doctor?
Okay, well, the inner doctor is actually a term that's been used in traditional therapies for a long, long time. And even people like Albert Schweitzer, the Swiss doctor, talked about, he's got a saying that says something along the lines, we doctors do nothing, we just aid and support the inner doctor. And that's that same inner doctor. If you're looking for an example, there's a couple I often give. One is, if somebody's pregnant, they don't get up in the morning and think, I'm going to build this baby's liver today, or what colour hair follicles will I put in this child's head? There's an innate intelligence that knows what to do, and all we're doing, even in that situation, is providing the best environment you can, whether it's de-stressing, good diet or whatever. And the other one I often give is if somebody breaks a bone, you don't, with your intellect, start sorting the little osteoblasts and osteoclasts out to sort the broken bone. You might put it in a cast, you might give them some sort of dietary things or whatever, but you're not actually healing the bone. It's doing it itself. There are ways you might be able to support it, but there's the innate intelligence doing it. And it's that innate intelligence that I'm talking about.
That's wonderful. Thank you. I think your years of experience come through there. You know, also talking about Ozzy and how he sort of talked about that such a long time ago now. And, we think about and we talk about how society's changed and people's health has changed so much over the years, isn't it? How do you explain the concept to your clients, Margaret, when they come in for an appointment? Do you have a process that you work through and might be able to help our listeners to work through that?
What's interesting is to have your client feel, if they can, what's happening in their body after you've done a Bowen move. Now, that gives you a lot of information as a practitioner as to what may be happening for that client anyway. I mean, some things are very obvious and other things aren't. But as you start to understand some of these links, whether they're the anatomical links that we all do anatomy when we do Bowen courses, whether they're the fascial links, which people are looking at fascial trains and links from one part of the body to another, or whether you're looking at the muscle meridian links. Very often, and I've had it just two or three times this last couple of days in clinic, where somebody's done a move and they feel it somewhere totally different in their body, but it happens to be where they've had some form of trauma, or they've had an operation, or there's been something happening in their body. It's as if the person can give you a response to what's happening, where any sensations linger tends to be where there's a disruption to the fluidity of the system or the circuits running through the system. And it's a very useful tool to have, because a lot of people may come in with chronic, and this is particularly good for chronic situations, they might come in with chronic lower body issues, but when you do the first two moves of Bowen in the middle of the back, all the sensations go to the head. And, you know, this person may have been to many practitioners, all very good in their fields, but nobody's ever thought to address the head. They all address the symptoms or the area where the person's complaining. So, and another example, interestingly enough, you talk about things changing. Things are changing because not so well in the bodywork field, of course, the amount of knowledge around fascia and all these other aspects. And certainly I would suggest in the next few years, certainly next decade or so, I imagine there will be technology that can actually measure impulses and vibrational frequencies and that are linked to the body and certain diseases, etc., which will give an even greater insight to what's happening. But also in some of the more traditional areas, and they're giving immunotherapies and things to build up the immune system now. And as if it's a really new thing, this is what natural therapists have been looking at for decades, if not centuries. So it's a very interesting time we live in.
It absolutely is. And was there a time in the past when you realised that there was this, you know, either a difference or a connection between the mind and the body, Margaret? Was there anything, any time in your life during your clinic work?
Well, that's an interesting question. I guess I've always known it, and having done a lot of courses in that, but I was particularly interested in the mindfulness meditations and the Vipassana meditations, of which I've done many over the years. But certainly if you sit for 10 days in a silent retreat, by the end of the silent retreat, as you actually start to think about something, you start to feel the impact of that thought within your body. And you can do exercises anyway. You can ask a client or a student to just think of a time when they were angry or fearful or whatever, and bring their awareness to the body and where is there a tightening in their body. And it doesn't have to be the same for everybody. I'm quite against looking at prescriptive things. You know, people often say, oh, the jaw's this and the something's this. I've got this saying which I'm using more and more is, how was it for you? And that allows everybody to be an individual, and it's their experience of a situation which could be totally, which can be and usually is very different for the next person.
Oh, that's right. I think when you came to New Zealand, to Nelson, you know, for our conference and the Mind Body Bowen course, that we were just in awe, and there's many of us around the country that just still talk about that now. For us to have 30 Bowen therapists in a room in New Zealand, just everyone sitting around the wall, was really the most extraordinary thing that I think I've seen in a long, long time. Of course, we had emotions, we had laughter, everyone was so open and honest. It has left us with something that we will never forget, really and truly. It was just wonderful.
Well, I'm so delighted to hear that. And I've had a little bit of feedback from people that had wonderful experiences using this work as well. It's such a privilege, in a sense, to be able to work closely with people in that sort of sense, but also to honour where your client's at. Not all clients want to go there, same as not all students or practitioners want to go there. But the opportunity is there for the client or the practitioner should they want to work in that particular way. And it's really profound.
Do you have any advice about how to sort of encourage, you know, the someone's going to sort of want to go there? Or do you get a sense that people are open to it if they've had the same recurring problems keep coming back and back all the time?
It's hard to pick in that sense. The easiest way to work it out is ask the body. Because if you do the first two moves and that person gets a really long response that doesn't settle for considerable time, you can just ask a general question. Is there anything that this might be related to? Have you had problems in that area, for example? But it's really important to have the person stay in their body, in the sensations, for probably a minimum of 30 minutes, because that's actually the treatment, is the awareness, being present in the body. And it's a whole lot of being present. Once again, it's really just active listening skills, which is something we all do as practitioners. I mean, you can ask somebody, how was it for you? We have those recording sheets, and you ask somebody, they might tick they've had their tonsils out, for example, and they tick it. And so as a practitioner, you think, oh, yeah, they had their tonsils out, their lymphatics or whatever. But you wouldn't do it for everything. You'd run out of time. But you might say, how was it for you? And they could have had a problem with the anaesthetic. They could have had a problem with the operation. They may not have given them enough anaesthetic. They might have been held down without having an anaesthetic. And can you imagine the trauma? Each of those is a different situation, yet it's just one little tick box on a on a client's record sheet. So it's about, I always call it, it's an extension of the case history. Now, some people won't know, and you can often encourage them to go and have a chat, maybe if it's a really early trauma or a birth trauma or something, they can go and ask their mother if she's alive, or parents, or somebody, or especially if they've been knocked out or something, they might have fallen off a horse or something. There's usually somebody that can offer a situation that it may be linked to. Or you start seeing the same situation happening over and over and over again in their life. It's just case history taking. You go back to the first instance. And often the person will go, aha, I know what it is. But the body holds it at the age. It's almost frozen into the nervous system at the age the trauma happened. Once they realize that this is something from way back, not in the present, they seem to have developed the resilience or whatever to be able to look at it and then move forward.
Absolutely. I think that's such a key thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's all we're doing. One of the things I've been looking at a lot now, because I'm recognising more and more some of the younger people coming in and some of the older people coming in using what people now call soul-centered terminology, like embodiment, somatic embodiment, authentic self, all of these types of words. I mean, they've always been around, but it seems to be, I was sitting in the cafe the other day and I heard two fellows talking about, you know, they were doing this, it was good for the soul because they're really looking for their real self. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is just a coffee shop conversation nowadays. So people are ready to start looking at this. And so for those practitioners who are interested in this sort of work, in a sense, what we're doing is just helping that person clear the filters, which could be mental thought forms or emotional things they're stuck in, or the really physical aspects, to allow their inner self to shine through. It's such a wonderful thing. I always am amazed how, when I've had a session like that, and I've had a few lately, I don't feel like I've done anything really other than try and stay really present. And the person is going, wow, you know, and all the rest of it. And funnily enough, I usually say, well, thank you, body. I just push the buttons. They sort of say, and that's really what we do. If we can do those Bowen moves that we all know and do them in a state of being very present ourselves, we can then offer that space. And it's partly the wait period. So I'm a big one on allowing each of the moves to settle without jumping in and doing the next one.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. It's just remarkable how, you know, how things have progressed. And, you know, we often, well, I do anyway, often think about how things were in Tom Bowen's day. But, I mean, look how much things have changed now, and people are so busy. I mean, just today I've had someone, you know, literally rush in the door. And I suppose it's the idea of just getting people to slow down, slow the moves down. And, you know, I'm not sure if you agree, Margaret, but people just look so different once they sit up. It's incredible. I mean, if we just can just do this for people in these sort of busy times. How does this approach fit within our scope of practice, Margaret?
Okay, well, as I indicated before, in a sense, it's just an extension of our own case taking. What tends to happen, instead of taking a full case at the beginning of a session, about 25, 30 minutes into the session, you continue the case taking by asking what the sensations in the body were linked to. And if they tell you a situation, how was it for you? It's a continuing situation of taking a case, but you're taking it further down. So within scope of practice, it still fits. If you feel at that stage that it may be going beyond where you feel comfortable, you can always refer the person on, but I would encourage them to come back to you for the body work and maybe go and see somebody for whatever, counselling, whatever you feel. But having said that, the body, once it recognises, it tends to release, and a lot of that stress comes out. So I don't see it a problem with scope of practice. I mean, even before I was doing this work, when I very first did Bowen, people would get off the table and they say, I don't know what you've done, but you've taken my fear away. So I'm not trying to force them into anything. It's just what is revealed in the space. And they tell you stories. I mean, listen to what your client is saying. That's why active listening is part of our scope, and it's really important to listen to what they're saying, because if they say, I'm all over the place, I'm beside myself with worry, I can't feel anything in my feet, you're starting to look at dissociation states. And so in a sense, what we're doing with Bowen is that somatic embodiment aspect of making the body more comfortable for the being to live in. And in that sense, you're also dealing with the nervous system, which we all know Bowen is profound.
We do, thank you. How does a Bowen therapist begin to explore these concepts? And are there a few tangible first steps we can take?
I would always say to you that the best teachers in this area are your clients. How do you take the first steps? Well, it certainly doesn't hurt to just either work with somebody who's done the course or do the course, but just even listening to your clients. How was it for you? How many clients, even without knowing this work, walk out the door and just as they're leaving, they say, oh, by the way, did I tell you that? Can you recognize that client? And that little piece of information could be integral as to whether you're working with that person on a mental health basis, because once you start working with muscles and meridians, you're actually working, each meridian's got a physical, emotional, mental component to it. So you're also being able to work with things like grief, and there's a lot of abuse out there too, and the fears and the angers and the frustrations and the resentments, because that's going to show up somewhere in the body. And that does tend to align with certain meridians. And so the body's actually talking to you. So the more you, I've always said, even the class I had this weekend, I said, we learn more and more moves. But my recommendation to anybody is start from the very first move that you learn, and don't just think, oh, I'll do this to get it out of the road. How does that move, and I'm talking about move as opposed to procedure, affect the body anatomically, fascially, muscle meridian link, and therefore physically, emotionally, and mentally? And you'll realize that's how a person can start to realize how profound this therapy actually is, because they can see some of the simplest moves have got the most profound effect. They're dealing not only with the body's systems, but they're dealing with the mental and emotional components that come with it. And so I go back to what I can now see what Ozzy meant, whether he looked at it in all that perspective, I don't know, but I can see how it's not a wild claim. It has got the potential to be a profound treatment for virtually everybody, or many, many things, and exciting for practitioners.
That's wonderful. Thank you for that insight. Margaret, I imagine your work over the years has brought you a lot of joy and contentment and satisfaction. Can you put into words how it has made you feel?
Oh, somebody once said that this life, my work was my life, and my life was my work, and it's sort of become that. Look, it's exciting. I've been doing it for 28 years now, Bowen, and I'm still excited by it. Every client comes in, it's so different, and that's why I'd certainly encourage people to get away from using prescriptive, you know, they've got this, therefore they use that. That's actually an orthodox medicine way of working. Take what they've got, break it down, then work with it. And it means everybody that walks through your door is an individual, and you're doing individual treatments, you're paying attention, you're honoring the client for the being who they are, and it's just the most satisfying thing you can actually, well, for me, it's been a very, very satisfying profession to be in. And I've stayed there a long time, so I would have left if I wasn't getting any results or whatever.
That's so true. That's wonderful. Margaret, thank you so much for spending time with us and sharing your wisdom and your knowledge of 30 years and practice and teaching with us all. I'm sure that the listeners are going to, you know, feel so much benefit from everyone. Is there one message that you could have for the bone therapist listening to this conversation? One final message, Margaret, for us to take away from our talk today?
Just enjoy it. Enjoy the work and just keep exploring, because I often feel like I did, you're in kindergarten. I still feel like I'm in kindergarten. And the more you think you know, if you're a little bit humble, you realise you don't really know. And so just keep exploring. And I'd love to see where other people can take this wonderful therapy.
That's wonderful. We so much appreciate you talking with us. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed the conversation, but it doesn't end there. In the show notes below, you'll find a link where you can submit your own question, something that has piqued your interest from the conversation, to ask the presenter. This will happen on Thursday, the 19th of October, during BowenFest 23 Live, where all our presenters will be part of a Q&A panel. Put your question forward and have it answered on the night so that we can extend the conversation further, learn more, and connect more deeply. You've been listening to BowenFest 23 podcast series, proudly presented by Bowen Therapy New Zealand and the Bowen Association of Australia.